Practice does make perfect. That is true. The realization is, though, you're not going to get to practice getting into heaven. It ain't a practice. It ain't a rehearsal dinner. You're either going or you're not going this morning. And the realization is there's a lot of people out there that I guarantee you that they are going to go, that when the rapture comes, they're going to get left behind. And I want to talk to you a little bit about the rapture. We were talking about end time prophecies, but I want to talk to you about it in a little bit different light of what they were anticipating. Israel versus the church. And hopefully I can do it in a way that you'll understand it. There are two basic events. I'm going to put the saving of the Apostle Paul here, the end of the church age, the catching out. I understand rapture is not in the Bible. It's not a biblical term in any source, but the word rapture means caught up. Well, that's what the rapture is, caught up. And then there's a second coming. And bless his heart, Jack Van Impe confuses the two. But you don't need to be confused at all. Our hope is not in this planet. Our hope is not of this planet. Go if you will to 1 Corinthians 15. Let me just start there. It's fascinating to me when you study your Bible, the wording in this Bible. It just absolutely fascinates me. And as I read these words and I listen to people preach, this is part of my problem. You don't want me to listen to you preach, probably, because I'm starting to not think about what I had believed because someone else said it. I'm trying to listen to what the Word of God said. And there's two different things there. If you understand what I'm saying, I've heard things and then I read the things, and sometimes what I've heard doesn't match up with, for example, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised. Are raised? Shall be. All right, I'm calling on my English teacher. What does that mean, shall be raised? It's future perfect. That's exactly right. Means it hadn't happened, but it is going to happen. And it will be completed. You all understand? Now, I did a message a few months back that there isn't anybody dying along the way that are going to heaven when they die. And it's because of the wording of that that is very important. What is the mystery in the passage? All right, life from the class. Huh? All right, read it again. Who said that? You said that? And you said that. You two are right. The mystery is that Israel had always believed in resurrection. From the what? From the grave, they were going to what? Rise up, and where would we find that? Okay, when I go up on the end, it's usually like a question, you know? Ezekiel 37. They believed in resurrection. But they had never heard that you might be alive and caught anywhere. You understand? The mystery was this live person might not what? Might not die. Now, it also has to do with the body of Christ catching out that he was talking about has to do with that too. But it wasn't the resurrection of the dead. That wasn't a mystery. God was always going to resurrect the dead. That's the hope. The hope is the power over the grave. Do you all understand that? Look at it again. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all what? Then some of us are going to be what? Some are going to be alive and some are going to be asleep. Some are going to be alive and some are going to be asleep. Now watch verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound. Okay? We have a sequence of events. What happens? The trump is going to sound. Trump. Now watch this. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be what? Shall be, are they already raised? Shall be is a future perfect tense. They are not raised as of yet. Shall be. I started working on this last night after I heard a guy preach. And what? Well, it's just fascinating. The mystery isn't the rapture. The mystery is some are going to be alive in a resurrection. That had never been taught. Y'all understand? And they had never heard. Now watch. For the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? We shall be changed. There's the we that are alive. And these are the ones that are dead. And these are going to be raised, and we shall be what? Changed. And then we're going to be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. The point that I'm making is your hope is leaving the planet. Look in Galatians chapter 1. Shall be. That's a fascinating word. I started working on that the other night, or yesterday actually during the day. And I thought about that and thought about it and just stewed my blood that we can't read the words, shall be raised. If we were already in heaven, we wouldn't shall be raised, should we? Now, we're in the Lord. We die, we're in the presence of the Lord. But we're waiting for what? If you're dead, you're waiting for what? Resurrection. You got it? But no concern, because the shout's going to come, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. And to do what? Well, we're leaving the planet Earth. Verse 4, Galatians 1, verse 4. You're leaving planet Earth. Who gave himself for our sin. Who's the who? Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ of verse 3. See that? The Lord Jesus Christ who gave himself for our sin that he might deliver us from this what? The hope is leaving the present evil world. The hope is not on this earth. The hope is far above all heavens. The hope isn't this earth. Everything that you guys own, look around, and you think you own it. When that shout comes and that voice of the archangel, you're not going to care a thing about that because that's not your inheritance. You're not going to go, wow, I wish I could leave that to my kids or my great-grandchildren. I don't even know what grandchildren look like yet, the little stinkers. My kids are all old enough and they won't have children. I think I'm going to adopt one and just give them to them. Do you know what I mean? Just give them to them. So I can have my own grandchildren. In fact, I bought a Yorkie. I went up to my, it's like my, she calls it a mop without a handle. I can't believe William would call my dog that. But you know, I have a Yorkie and I went up to my daughter and said, you know what I call this? She says, no, I said, your inheritance. We're leaving the planet, guys. We're going to meet the Lord in the air. Go to 1 Thessalonians. Verse 16. Or First Thessalonians 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Well, if I was going to write that, I'd put 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52. Amen? And the dead in Christ shall rise first. That matches. Amen? Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And so, the rapture is a unique event in the fact of two things. There's two uniqueness about the rapture that you've got to understand. Number one, they had never heard of the body of Christ. Number one, they never heard of the body of Christ. So a catching out that was onto its own would have been unique. Amen? And the second thing that was a mystery was some were going to be alive and not die. Everybody in Israel will have to die a martyr's death except for the 144,000. They're sealed. Everybody else dies. You realize that if you believe Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was written to you, and that was doctrinally for you, you know what you'd do? You'd be water baptized, and then you would die a martyr's death. Now, wouldn't that be a bummer if you knew that you were getting baptized so you could die? And the idea for them was being born again from the dead. Now, that's where that term born again came in. Go to Matthew, go to Matthew. Let me get over there. I think it's 10. Yeah, it is. Matthew 10, verse 38. Yeah. The doctrine for Israel in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is not the same doctrine for the body of Christ. And until you start to realize that, you can get very, very confused very, very fast. But look in verse 38. How many's heard this verse? He that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. For he that findeth his life shall what? Lose it. And he that loses his life for my sake shall what? Now, how would you gain your life during the tribulation? How would you gain? No, but I mean, how would you keep your life? Yeah. You take a mark. You got it? You take a mark. If you take a mark, they're not going to kill you. You just become one of the children of the devil. You all understand? And you say, well, how easy would that be? It's going to be real easy. I want you to think about it for how easy it will be in the tribulation to get you to take a mark. What happens if the kings are from Elba? And let's say they're up here visiting. I don't know if they're wealthy people. But let's say they're mediocrely wealthy. You know, they have $1 million in the bank. Now they look like they could probably have $1 million in the bank. No? Darn. I was hoping somebody be rich around here. No, let's say they have $1 million. And they got a mortgage on their house. And they have a car payment and all that. Now, think about this for just a minute. If someone froze your account and wouldn't let you have your money out, how do you pay your house payment? How do you buy food? How do you do any of that? And they said, but hold it, Mr. and Mrs. King, you can have your money. All we need to do is security because there's some identity theft going on. And we tried everything else, and the only way we know to secure your money is by you taking this mark, and we'll know that it's absolutely you. How many people do you think would take the mark? I guarantee you they would just swarm in to do it in the name of security, in the name of protection, in the name, and they will do it. They won't, and it's not far. And you know, there were some hints coming along this thing about I was talking last night at the conference on the things of Israel, how they do. Do you realize that 65% of what you put in your mouth is what they call hybrids? Food, GMOs, genetically modified. Do you realize that you cannot take those seeds and plant them and grow anything else? So what happens if they say, well, hold it, you can't even have any seeds unless you take the mark? They've got you, because there's very little what they call heirloom seeds. Heirloom seeds are the seeds that will reproduce themselves, and they're the old breeds of seeds, some of them dating back all the way to Christ. There have been people that have been protecting seeds for that long that you can plant in the ground, it grow up, you let a few plants come to a seed, and you take those seeds and you save them back and draw them. Now, here's the thing that's fascinating. I mean, the knowledge of how to do that is also gone. How to dry seeds and store them and make them proper so they'll grow the next year, that knowledge is gone. They have dummied us down to where we couldn't even take a seed of wheat and plant it and grow it in the ground and then make bread. So when it comes down to food, I mean, you know, Tony tells me this all the time. They don't even know how to turn on the stove at their house. If it wasn't for restaurants, they wouldn't know how to eat. And a lot of us are getting that way, you know?
The kitchen's only there because it came with the house.
Exactly. Why use that silly thing? And Renee hitting Sterling says, see, I'm telling you, everybody does it. Let's eat out. You know, but that's the deal, isn't it? So if they cut off the monetary value, what are you going to be able to buy? You are stuck. Now, I don't believe you're going through the wrath, okay? You understand? If you're saved here today, you're not going through the wrath. You're going to exit out before this period of time, which is the last week of Daniel. You got it? You're leaving before then. But you understand how easy it will be to deceive the millions in here to take the mark. It'll be like that. It won't be hard. I'm telling you, it won't be hard at all. They'll line up. One nuclear bomb takes off and LSU or Auburn Gain, you know, boom, and 80 million people die. People will line. I'm telling you, they'll line up for that mark to be secured, to know who's in this country and who's not. You know, we're all fighting. It's kind of funny because we want a free society, but you know, ultimately to have a free society, you got to know who's in your country, right? Well, they've been working on a national ID card for a few years. That's just another step toward, you know, all of this has just been slowly happening. But our hope is heaven. Our hope is leaving the planet. We're not going to stick around. We're going to leave the planet. But these people are literally going to have to die in order to be saved. So you know when they tell them, I don't want a mark, I'm not going to take a mark, guess what's going to happen? Off with their head. And that's why he said in verse 39, he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. Why? He's been faithful unto the what? You remember that he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved? You ever wondered what it meant? You need to put Matthew 24, verse 13 right there in your Bible. And you need to put Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, and then turn there. See, you've got to understand, they can't be born again until they what? But I show you a mystery. You can be saved without dying. In the rapture. You understand the difference? They have to die in order to be born again. You, on the other hand, don't have to die. It could happen right now, boom, and we're out of here. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, keep believing that one. Look, the videotapes that I have are in there. Watch them. No, I'm just kidding. It isn't going to help you. Do you realize that if you heard the gospel, well, I'm going to get to that. That's the point I want to make. And by the way, the Left Behind series sold 18 million copies. There are going to be a lot of people deceived. How many here has read it? Read the whole series? It was good fiction. It was great read. Did you read it? Yeah. But you know what? They were wrong. I'll show you. Revelation, where did I tell you to? Verse 10. Revelation 2:10. Here we go. Up. Up. Revelation 2:10. Everybody there? Revelation 2:10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto... You know what the other Bible say? Until death. No, you got to be faithful unto death. You know what? And I will give thee a crown of life. Guess what the crown of life is? Resurrection from the dead. You got it? Resurrection from the dead. That's the hope of Israel. Well, for you to have resurrection from the dead, you've got to die. That's why he said, take up your cross and follow after me. He that does not do that is not worthy of me. He that loses his life for my sake shall find it. You got to die. For what? So that you can be born again from the dead. But you guys don't have to worry about being born again. You know why? You're new creatures. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You're new creatures. 2 Corinthians 5. You're new creatures. You're not waiting for a change. The change has already happened for you. When? At the cross. All we're waiting is our vile body to be changed. Y'all understand? That's the rapture. You could be sitting here alive. You don't have to die. And all of a sudden, I don't know what your body will look like, and boom. You know what it reminds me of, the rapture? I know this is kind of carnal, but you'll understand it better. It's like Star Trek and that transporter thing. Beam me up. And you show up. Now, I know that's pretty carnal, but Renee finally got it. No. You know, I mean, that makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, it's like you will be changed while you're standing there. Another carnal illustration. How many saw the movie Cocoon? You know, when they came out of those human bodies and they were these beams of light? That's probably pretty accurate, actually. That would be like the rapture. You'd just be walking around. Take off the robe of flesh, boom, there you are. Really, it's probably not far from it. Probably got it from the Word of God. Made millions of dollars in us Christians going, yes, but it's better to be humble and poor. Yes? No, the devil's always bad, but he looks good. Trust me on that one. 2 Corinthians 5. Now watch this. I want to go to verse, I guess verse 17. You can read the whole thing. It's all good. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, if you're saved, are you in Christ? Amen. He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become, that's not where I wanted. I'm sorry. He is a new creature. You see that? You're already a new creature. You're different than what you were before. You know what you're waiting for? You're waiting for your body to be changed. Look in Philippians. Go to Philippians chapter 3. Watch this. Verse 21. Philippians 3, verse 21. See, the rapture's going to happen. You might be alive. And you're going to be changed. You're not waiting for death. That's a mystery. God had never told anybody that they were just going to go whoop. And there's only one example of it in the Bible. Guess who it is? Enoch. Enoch walked with God, and he was not. For God took him. He translated him. Changed them. He's the example in your Bible of the rapture. Now watch this. Verse 21. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to even to subdue all things unto himself. What's going to happen? Our vile bodies are going to be what? We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. There is a change that is going to happen. Why? You can't go into heaven. Why? Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So you got to take off the robes of flesh. But if you take off the robes of flesh, what's going to happen to you right now? You're going to die. Then you will need to be born again from the dead, the new birth. But if you're alive, you're not going to have to die. Why? He's going to change you immediately. Do you all understand? In a twinkle of an eye, at the last trump, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. But you which are alive and remain shall be changed. Changed. Verse 21, I would put 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16 and 17 right there, and 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16 and 17. And 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52. You all understand? What's the mystery? We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. What are we going to be changed like? We're going to be... Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. You see that? Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You are going to have a body that is unique. Unique. You're going to have a body that actually works. Miss Holloway's 85. Her body doesn't work like it used to. Back when I first married Brenda, she could chase me down and beat me with a broom. Now she'd be hard to catch me. Y'all understand? Things change. Well, one day she's going to have that body back, and I better watch where the broom handles are. She'll be able to catch me. Her hope is in the body she's in. The body she's in is dilapidating. The body you're in is falling apart. You know, believe it? When I was Jeff's age, I thought, man, my body is going to hold up. It's going to be fantastic. Hit 50. Yikes! Brenda's brother said, wait until 60. Woo! My dad says, wait until 80. It's a lot of fun. You know, my dad says, growing old is not for the faint of heart. You better be prepared. You know, I got a great dad. He's like... I call him up and I said, what are you doing? He says, I'm loafing. You know why? That's all you can do at 80 is loaf. You do anything strenuous, you may be walking around with a sore back for 6 months. I'm telling you, man, it's better to loaf at 80. Don't try to do too much. I said, what do you do? He says, I go out to eat every day and I sleep. That's all you need to do at 80, I'm telling you. Don't try to do too much. He said, well, I want to be gardening at 80. No, you hire the gardener at 80. You garden when you're 40. I know, and they're skinny and drawn up. You ought to see them, you know. I met this guy. It was kind of cute. I was in the grocery store, and this lady was by the egg, and he was by the milk down at Publix there. And I saw him turn around, and I said, nope, I found her first. And he said, no, I found her 76 years ago. And I thought they, you know, she was 76. They had been married for 76 years. He was 98. I'm not kidding you. And she was 96, wasn't it?
She was
going to
be 97.
Yeah, in a few days. Yeah, she's 97 now. So 98, 97. They're both have their own carts, shopping, drive, both of them drive, and I'm like, Lord, we need to pray. He was an amazing human being. Had all his teeth. Hair. He looked like 50. I said, what's your secret? You want to know what the secret to living to 98? He said, work hard all your life and eat half the portion. I said, whoa, whoa. If that's the way you're going to live, he said, you might make it to 50. And I'm like, I know I barely made it through 50. And 50 has been a bad year so far. He said, I told you. Your hope in these bodies. Your hope is that these vile bodies will be changed and taken up. Go to Matthew 24. I have heard this my whole life, that this is the rapture. Verse 36, Matthew 24, verse 36. I bet many of you all have heard that this was the rapture. Verse 36. Now of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Who got taken away by the flood? The world. The ones that were taken away were the ones taken in wrath. But I had heard that the taken away was the rapture. Well, it can't be if you use the illustration of Noah. The ones taken away in Noah's day were the ones taken in the wrath when he entered in, and the rain must have come down 40 days to cover the entire earth. And poured it out. The ones that were, I bet there was a drawing that a famous artist did, I can't think of his name right now, where he shows the edge of the ark and a lady trying to hold on and push her baby up. Well, her or her baby didn't make it. Say, well, that's mean of God. No, that's called justice. They were the wicked. And God condemned the wicked. Go back to Genesis chapter 5. Verse 23. For all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Isn't that fascinating? Is 365 the same as our years as Gentiles? And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. That basically all that was said, pretty much, right there. Okay? What happens in Genesis chapter 6? Look at verse 6. Well, verse 5. Genesis 6, verse 5. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought was of his heart was only evil continually, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart, and the Lord said, I will destroy. Well, what do you think is going to happen? The rapture is going to happen, and he is going to do what? Destroy in that 7 years. It's called the wrath of God. And God is going to pour out his wrath on this earth, and they are going to be like Noah. They're going to have to be protected from that. 144 are sealed, like God had sealed the ark. And they make it through, and the others all die, and only the faithful will be what? Resurrected from the dead. 144, the only ones that survive, everyone else dies. You got it? And so then the faithful will be what? Resurrected into life, and the other ones will be resurrected into death. You got it? God's going to pour out His wrath. And He says if these days weren't shortened, even the elect would be deceived. Now let me tell you, the rapture is uniquely different. The ones taken away, what happens first? Enoch was taken, and then what happened? The body will be taken, and the wrath. You got it? Bill, how am I doing? Enoch was taken, and God poured out His what? The body is taken, and God's going to pour out His... You see it? And those that are taken will be taken in wrath, just like those in the days. But you know what? You don't have to worry if you're faithful unto death. Why? He's able to give you a crown of life. Resurrection. All right, so Paul, to Jeff's thing about the LaHaye series, Tim LaHaye, go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we'll end here this morning. So you say, well, Brother Barry, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Brother Barry, I know that if I make it into the tribulation and I miss the rapture, I know that I have to bless a Jew. I know that. I heard your teaching. And I'm going to tell you this morning, that information won't help you one iota. You say, well, what's going to happen? Well, let me show you in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and read with me starting in verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteous in them that perish, why do they perish? Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. You got that? Why are they going to perish? Because they sinned? No, why don't they go to hell for their sins? The sin's been taken away. How many sins? All of them. Why do people perish and go to hell? Because they've received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. That's why they go to hell. People say, you mean sins don't send them to hell? No, Jesus Christ became your sin at Calvary. Don't you understand? That's the good news, that Christ paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. That's the deal. That's the dealy-willy. You want to know what the dealy-willy is? Christ paid for your sins. You will never, ever, ever go to hell for your sin. Isn't that terrible? People think, well, I need to quit sinning. No, you don't. Christ paid for your sins. Amen. Why do you go to hell? Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. You see that? They reject it. And for this cause, because they did reject it, God shall send them a strong delusion that they will believe a what? They're going to walk into this tribulation and they're going to believe that the Antichrist is God. And they're going to take the mark of the beast and they're going to bow down and worship Him. You know what He said in Matthew? If you seek to gain your life, you shall lose it. And they'll lose their life in the deception, believing that the Antichrist is God Himself. Who's going to give them that delusion? People say, well, God can't deceive you. God's going to deceive you. You know why? You know why God's going to deceive you if you're lost here? You rejected His Son. That's why God's going to do it. Say, you mean God's going to deceive people? Yep. I bet I didn't think God could do that. I bet you didn't think God could repent either. It repented God that He made man. Repenting doesn't have to do with sin. This deception has to do with justice and judgment. You all understand? It isn't about anything else. And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Here's the verse. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Is God going to give you a strong delusion that you'll believe a lie? And the only way to avoid that is to know that you're saved in this period of time. And when the shout comes, the voice of the archangel, when everybody might be asleep, ain't nobody but you alone, and the breath of your own, sound of your own snoring may wake you up, the trump will go, and just in that second, in the twinkle of an eye, boom, you're gone. Now, I just want to give you a thought for a minute. What happens if flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God? Are you going to leave the body behind? Go like this. What happens if a demon entered into that body and started walking around? The Bible says that there'll be some people on the outside will be white in sepulchers, but inside they'll be full of dead men's bones. And what happens if they started preaching grace during this period of time? That would be fantastic, wouldn't it? People all of a sudden say, it is grace. Wow, I can see it. It is grace. But during this period of time, grace isn't going to do you a bit of good. Wouldn't that be a great deception? Say, well, Brother Barry did show up that Sunday after the rapture. But it isn't really Brother Barry at all. It looks like Brother Barry. He even got a little twinkle in his eye. He's nicer than Brother Barry. But the mean old Brother Barry is gone. The rapture happened. And you don't even know it because you're not saved. And so it seems like nothing changed for you. Now, I'm not saying that's the way it is. I'm just saying that could be the way it will be. And you won't know unless you're saved. You can fake it out. You know, you could fake me out. I'm easy to fake out. I'm easy. But you know who you're not faking out? The Creator. He knows right now. He knows everybody in here who's saved and who's not. Right now, He knows. It's not like He's going, wonder which one of them are. He knows. He knows if you'll ever get saved. And He knows because you've heard the gospel and rejected that if you go into that tribulation, you'll fall for the deception. Now listen. You don't have, you know, a lot of times, and I want to bring this last point, I don't want to run over very long. I've seen a lot of people teach us. Everybody that is saved goes up in the rapture, and everybody else goes where? Well, if that is true, then none of this part of the Bible even means anything. Isn't that weird? You have to rightly divide this Bible. Otherwise, it would all come to an end right there. There would be no further to go any. But there's people that actually get saved in the tribulation, both Jews and Gentiles. There's people that get deceived in the kingdom that lose their life after they've been with the Lord 1,000 years. That's unbelievable to me, but it's going to happen. So what am I telling you? That today is the day of salvation. Right now. You know what? If you don't know that you're absolutely saved, you need to settle that moment in your mind right now. Why? That event, the rapture, could happen in 2 minutes, in 20 minutes, in 2 hours, 2 months, and a few years. I don't know. This is what I do know for a fact. It is going to happen, and you that are left behind will never even know it happened. It isn't going to be like the Left Behind series. One, you're not going to see some videotape and figure it out. Oh! We were supposed to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. No, God's going to send you a strong delusion that you'll believe a lie. In fact, I doubt if your husband or your wife is saved and you're not. I bet you'll wake up the next morning and they'll be there. But it won't really be them. And you won't even know. He's going to send you a strong delusion. Say, well, people can't... Well, I could show you a few illustrations where men walked around with legions in them. Hey, well, it won't happen. Well, I've seen it happen to a few men. There was a guy running naked through the graveyard. You know? There was the lunatic, you know, that was the lunatic. Said he got in his right mind. He started acting different after he got all the demons out. Well, how about if a bunch of demons entered you and you were the nicest guy in the world? They would say, that is definitely not Barry there. They'd go, I know one thing, whoever you are, you're not Barry. But you could be saved right here, right now. You know what? I can tell you that I thought I was saved when I was 13 and joined the church. And I was still lost as a ball in high weeds. It wasn't until the 24th of August, 1983, that I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. You can think you're saved for a long period of time. Amen, Bronx? Right, Larry? How about it, Stan? How many times were you baptized? Didn't work. Needed the blood of Christ. You know? Don't miss the rapture. Don't miss it. You will be very disappointed if you miss it. I'm done.